one starchy mammal hybrid will rise. In a return more surprising than Superman in the Justice League movie, Sloth-Tato lives again.
My turn.
Come together! Shall we?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the all-new, or not all-new, I guess, the revived Sloth-Tato. This is your host, Ryan Gutierrez. Joining me is fan-slash-listener-turned-guest-host-turned-regular-host, Eloy. How are you doing, Eloy?
What's up, Ryan? How you doing?
He almost called me Tyrese. For those of you that don't know, my name has gone through like a bunch of permutations, each getting more, honestly, racist than the last.
Not too racist, but a little bit racist.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Mexican or Hispanic. I guess I'm not African American, but I ended up with Tyrese and Tyrone. I think it went Ryan, and then. Roy started calling me Ryan, and then Ryan Champion, and then Tyrone, and then Tyrilliams, and now Tyrese. So yeah, that's kind of the evolution of that. But anyway, we have we've returned. Sloth-Tato was dead. Died at the hands of Doomsday. Wait, no, that wasn't Sloth-Tato, was it?
It
died at the hands of no listeners, so that's what happened. But we just couldn't watch all this stuff happen. The world keep living in this golden age of superheroes and superhero movies and media, and not talk about it. So Sloth-Tato was revived. I feel like Sloth-Tato is a really good thing to do right now. It feels good to escape from everything. We've got hurricanes. We've got earthquakes. We've got war.
Got wildfires.
Wildfires.
Solar eclipses.
Solar.
Whatever they're called.
Yeah, that solar eclipse. That, and now, like, all the solar flares that are knocking out radio systems or radio signals. What else? Let's see. We have a Lex Luthor reject in the White House. That's fun. Overall, you know, it's a veritable apocalypse out there. And it's good to get away.
Yeah, it's been a messy year, Tyrone, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
But, on the bright side, we've had some very good superhero news happen.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good stuff happen this year. We've had Wonder Woman, Spider-Man Homecoming. What else happened this year?
We got Logan, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Logan. Holy crap, was Logan this year?
Yeah. February, dude.
That's true. Oh my gosh. Man.
Some even say it's probably going to be even Oscar-nominated in it. Nominated movie. But we still haven't gotten to Oscar season, so we'll see how it goes. I'm rooting for it. Hoping to get that superhero hero movie another win.
Yeah, man. I mean, who can forget last year's victory with the Academy Award winning Suicide Squad? I can't say that without laughing. I liked Suicide Squad, but it's not an Academy Award level movie, unless you count the makeup, apparently. So
that's true. I mean,
it's all good. So anyway. Yeah, so we decided to bring back Sloth-Tato just to talk about all the stuff that's going on. And like I said, just because there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world, let's focus on some good stuff. And today is a very DC-heavy episode. Then again, most of our episodes are pretty DC-heavy, but that's probably just my bias showing.
But we do DC love man. Both. We got love for both.
Yes.
We appreciate both.
So, yeah, I mean, we love all geeky, nerdy stuff. We love, You know, DC, love it. Marvel, love it. Image Comics?
Spawn's okay. I like Todd McFarlane, but not a huge Image guy. Walking Dead's on TV.
Oh, yeah. I like Walking Dead. There's Invincible. There's a few Image Comics that I like. Did you hear Netflix bought out the whole catalog for... It was an Image.
Millar World?
Yes.
It's going to be crazy. There's a bunch of different titles on there. And we'll see what Netflix decides to do. Since with all the stuff, they're going to be the licenses to Marvel getting pulled from Disney. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
I don't like this. Like, we got away from cable, right? We got away from cable because cable was overpriced and honestly kind of overrated, and everyone's cutting the cord. And we're going to these streaming services like Netflix. Netflix has this mixture of all these cool shows and stuff. And now, like, Disney's going to have their own streaming service, which is going to be Marvel, basically. Marvel, Star Wars, and Disney stuff, right? Other Disney properties.
Yes, sir.
Now, DC's going to have a streaming service. We'll get a little bit more into that later. You know, like, Netflix is, I guess, going to be the Miller World streaming service. Like, now there's so many streaming services, you might as well call them channels.
Yeah, I agree. But with the Disney streaming service, they did announce they were doing 2 to 3 movies a year and 3 to 4 possible TV shows. So I'm praying we get that live action Star Wars that we need.
That would be fantastic. If they do live action Star Wars, I'm rooting Knights of the Old Republic.
We need it, man. We need something different in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
I love it. I love the Skywalkers. I love the Sith and the Jedi, but we need to get something fresh, something not just rehashes of stories, but just revisiting old characters instead of using the universe to tell better stories. You know what I mean? Tell more stories because the universe is so big.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's so expansive and it's so awesome, and I think Disney's been afraid of getting away from the Skywalkers, but they took their chance. They took that leap with Rogue One, and it paid off like gangbusters, dude. It did awesome. So I'm hoping they go ahead and take that leap of faith, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping too, man. Rogue One was different. They announced the Obi-Wan movie. There's rumors circulating around a Jabba the Hutt movie, but honestly, bro, who wants a Jabba the Hutt movie? We need, like you said, a Knights of the Old Republic. We need different stuff, like explore like Grey Jedi and stuff like that,
yeah,
to bring out the how big the universe is, because now they could control canon now, as opposed to before. So when Disney bought it, they just wiped out all Legends, or they wiped out all the novels and all the stuff before, other than the movies, and put it as, what's it called, like, Legends. So they could take bits and pieces and make new stories, telling other things,
yeah,
that we need.
Yeah, and that's what they gotta do, man. They gotta step away. But yeah, I don't think Jabba is a good idea. I heard that rumor pop up, and I thought, like, this has gotta be a joke. You know, like, we know we have a Han Solo movie coming. Like you said, we have the Obi-Wan movie coming, which I'm super excited about. Obi-Wan's one of my favorite Jedi. But I don't think I would like Jabba the Hutt in a movie. First of all, what are the action sequences going to be? The guy can't run, you know?
Dude, but what if he, like, struts, like, super fast, dude? You know, like a snake, you know? Like, what if he moves as fast as a snake in his younger days?
First of all, that'd be extremely creepy.
Plus, we get more Salacious B. Crumb.
Salacious B. Crumb is the bomb. My favorite Star Wars character of all time. I don't know, man. I don't think that's a good idea. And it'd be like watching a foreign film. Everything would be in subtitles, except that it's a foreign film that no one else can understand. Like, it's not like you're watching a French film that when French people watch it, like, oh yeah, I understand what's going on. Or like, you know, when you watch a Spanish movie and, you know, we speak Spanish. We know what's going on. We don't have to read the subtitles. It's just going to be like a bunch of, you know, Jabba speak. A bunch of Huttese or whatever.
But with that, we did get some Star Wars news this week, Tyrese. Why don't you tell us a little bit more?
So, Rian Johnson, right? That was his name?
Yes, right. Or was it Colin Trevorrow?
No, yes, it was Colin Trevorrow. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Rian Johnson is the one that is doing episode 8. Colin Trevorrow was the one that was going to do episode 9. He also did Jurassic World. A great job with Jurassic World, I felt. But he dropped out. And instead, now we're getting J.J. Abrams doing Star Wars episode 9. So that's the big Star Wars news. There hasn't been a whole lot of big Star Wars news lately, I feel.
So let me ask you this. How do you feel about J.J. Abrams doing another Star Wars film, stepping in for Colin Trevorrow? Do you think the criticism that The Force Awakens gets, such as like, oh, it's just a rehashing of episode 4, A New Hope, do you see that happening again with episode 9, maybe trying to copy Return of the Jedi, or do you see it something fresh? Do you see a fresh idea coming?
Well, I don't know if he's going to have the choice to rehash Return. I'm going to just lay it out there. I'll get upset if the thing, you know, has little teddy bears running around by the end of it.
What if, like, Kylo throws Snoke off a balcony or something?
If Kylo throws Snoke off and a balcony, I'll be so upset, dude. Because, okay, here's the thing with Force Awakens. Force Awakens was kind of a rehash of A New Hope, but here's why I forgive it. Force Awakens hit a lot of the same notes, a lot of the same patterns. You know, they basically did the Death Star, but bigger. It was a lot of the same, but there was enough little nuances, enough differences that it got you excited. You know, it made you think back to, like, oh, I remember, you know, I remember when things like this happened. There were enough differences that it was exciting. Like, well, for one, you know, Kylo is not Rey's father. I'm pretty sure that's not going to be revealed in episode 8. But Kylo's temperament, you know, Darth Vader's this regal, you know, like very powerful, kind of
menacing.
Menacing, but in like in a quiet way, you know, like very.
His presence. You can feel his presence in the room.
Yes, he shows up and people shut up, you know, and he speaks and he doesn't speak a lot. He's a man of few words, but everything he says, and then especially with, you know, that freaking Mufasa voice.
So yeah, with James Earl Jones, I was talking about. I mean, he has that iconic voice. Though, like you were saying, the way he demands his presence when he comes, but hopefully, Kylo doesn't turn into that.
Yeah, I like that. That's one of the things that I like. That, like I said, it hits the same a lot of the same steps as A New Hope, but they're very different. Like, Rey is not this wide-eyed, innocent girl who's, like, never seen anything in her life, like a little farm girl, the way Luke was a little farm girl. No, like, she's struggled her whole life. You know, she's an orphan. She knows how to fight. She knows how to defend herself. Like, she's not, you know, she's straight naive off the farm. Exactly. Then there's Kylo. Kylo is not Darth Vader. He's not regal and stoic. He wants to be. He wants to be that. He wears the mask and he has the voice modulator thing. And, like, he wants to be Vader so badly. But he's this, like, just temperamental kid, really. Like, you know, trying to live up to granddaddy's footsteps. And I like that dynamic. I like that it recognizes that it's a Star Wars movie and pays tribute to A New Hope, but it's different enough that you can kind of, like, it's the movie itself is it's very meta, it's self-referential in that, like, that's the spirit of the movie. It's like, this is Star Wars, it's what you remember, but different, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. And we'll see what J.J. Abrams has to do. He's co-writing it with Chris Terrio, and we all know what movie he did last year, right?
You were saying
is an Academy Award winning writer.
But not for Batman v Superman.
Exactly.
What did he win the Academy Award on?
Batman's other movie, Argo.
Nice.
You know, I thought, great movie, well written, well directed, of course by Ben Affleck.
Nice.
Which, hopefully, didn't turn out too well on BVS, but we hope and pray him and J.J. Abrams mesh well and create something good for Star Wars Episode 9. Because we need it. We need it, bro. We need a good ending to a good trilogy. Hopefully a good trilogy.
Yeah. And we definitely... We need this Star Wars to, you know, round off well. At least it got to a decent start, you know. It didn't get off to a Phantom Menace start, so that's a good start.
Yeah, I see with The Force Awakens, I think criticism a lot of people give it, that it looks, right, reaccounts Episode 4, but maybe that's what Disney wanted. Maybe that's what they need, like, what the Disney heads wanted to do.
Yeah, like I was saying, I definitely do think that's what it was. They were kind of giving a signal of, like, you know, this is Star Wars. It's what you remember, just a little different, you know? I definitely think Episode 8 is going to take a different turn. I don't know if it's going to be too different, because it's going to involve an old Jedi teaching
a young Mary Sue. Just kidding.
A young Jedi. How to use the Force and all, but I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, man. I'm okay with it. Like, I'm okay with J.J. Abrams coming back. I like what he did with Force Awakens. I like what he's done with Star Trek. I like his directing. I like how he tells stories. And I think he can do a good job. I was really excited for Colin Trevorrow. Just because, you know, Jurassic World was awesome.
Book of Henry was trash.
But what?
Book of Henry. You never saw that movie? The no. First person shooter one?
No. Oh,
He directed that movie, I believe. I think it's Book of Henry.
Hardcore Henry.
Hardcore Henry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I never saw that movie.
Well.
I didn't see it.
I guess that probably left a bad taste in Lucasfilm's, like, mouth. Due to all the stuff with Lord and Miller with the Han Solo movie, and maybe they just wanted to be, you know, if they're not going to be able to be on the same page for the story, might as well just get them out right now, as opposed to like 80% in the movie and then get them out. So, and with them already previously working with J.J. Abrams, I think they'll get on the right track. I think they'll get what they both want and give the fans what they want, you know, something fresh, something new. So hopefully we get that from J.J. Abrams and Star Wars Episode 9.
Yep. So, yeah, that's the Star Wars news we have for now. We're not going to cover everything that's happened with Star Wars universe since the last episode, because that's quite a bit.
It's like 2 years ago, bro.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to cover. But let's go ahead and move on to DC. Like we said, DC is... it has a lot going on right now. I wish I could say it was all good. Oh, man. But, yeah. So, the first thing that's come up with DC, people were going crazy. I was going crazy. I didn't know what was happening. I was upset. I was happy. I was back to being upset. I didn't know what the heck was going on. But the Joker movies. And yes, I said the Joker movies, plural. Like, why? I love the idea of a Joker movie. I think that could be really great. But why do we need Joker in Suicide Squad 2? Joker in the Joker and Harley movie? Joker in the Gotham City Sirens movie? And then another Joker movie with a different Joker, which I guess basically the DCEU equivalent of an Elseworld, not maybe directed, but I guess produced or in some way influenced by Martin Scorsese, which sounds awesome, but why so much Joker? You know, I would understand if this was you know, God rest his soul, if this was Heath Ledger and we were like, you know, coming off of that performance and people were just like, holy crap, did you see that? We need Joker and everything. But as good as I still believe that Jared Leto can knock it out of the park with Joker, given time and better writing. But coming off of Suicide Squad and how disappointing that was, because it really was, and it wasn't Jared Leto's fault. It was like, there was so much cut out. Like, the Joker that we saw in the movie was a different Joker from the one we saw in the trailers.
Yeah.
You know? Coming off of that, why lean in to the Joker?
I'll tell you why. I think it gives directors and writers and all these filmmakers enough space. Warner Brothers gives them enough space to tell their own story. Like, dude, a Martin Scorsese produced Joker film set in the 80s. You cannot tell me that does not sound exciting.
No, that sounds awesome.
Right. But like, what DC plans to do is able to tell stories that don't have to be connected in the same universe. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, like an Elseworlds story. But I feel these movies can be great because they're not tied. They don't have to, like, shoehorn something or anything like that. We could just get a nice, clean Joker movie and see where we go from there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm one of the guys that doesn't believe everything has to be in a universe. I believe that's why I like the Nolan trilogy so well, because it doesn't have Superman in it. It doesn't have Wonder Woman in it. It doesn't have Aquaman. And it's able to tell its own story.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with movies being disconnected. It's just that, you know, after Christopher Reeve's Superman and Tim Burton's Batman and Schumacher's
crap.
Batman, yes,
crap.
And then Nolan's Batman, like, and then you know, Snyder's Superman and Superman Returns and all these different iterations of Batman and Superman. And DC characters in general, you know, the terrible, terrible Green Lantern movie, you know, all this stuff just spread out, and then finally we get him where we start building, you know, a universe. It starts coming together. I feel like focus on making your universe good. Like, if you started this venture, focus on that. Now, that being said, you want to take some time and effort. You know, you're making money. Wonder Woman made all the freaking money, you know. And good, you know, good for Patty and good for Wonder Woman. They did great, but fine. You want to put some effort into that. You want to start an Elseworlds brand and do standalone stories. Great. And you know what? Martin Scorsese directed or produced or whatever. Martin Scorsese influencing the Joker set in the '80s. Said like, oh man, like that. That's amazing.
It's great, dude. I mean, it's just imagine getting more Joker like.
No, and I'm all for it. Like, I think that's great. I think that's awesome. But then why do we need, like, and I'm good with the Joker being part of Suicide Squad too. And even with him, you know, maybe playing a small part in Harley's background for Gotham City Sirens. But why do we need then a Joker and Harley movie? Like, why do we need Joker in three movies, and come on, you like the Joker's not going to make some appearance in the Batman?
I mean, they're the best. I think their dynamic was the best part in Suicide Squad too, though. People want to see more of that, man, terrible relationship, toxic, but people are attracted to that. So Warner Brothers is giving us what they want, what people want in Suicide Squad 2 with both of them. With the Harley Quinn and Joker movie, with Gotham City Sirens, no, you just don't get Harley without the Joker. And a lot of people liked Harley. So, I feel that you just need them together. So, with getting Leto and being him being the Joker in the DCEU, and them be able to tell that the stories that they want to tell with him, they can fix him. But I want to see that. Martin Scorsese movie on the Joker. What he can do.
Yeah, me too. All that being said, fan cast. Martin Scorsese's Joker. Younger Joker, you know, maybe not quite as menacing. Maybe, you know, this was supposed to be an origin story from what they're saying or from what I'm understanding. Set in the 80s, who do you cast?
Give me one second.
I would...
Oh, I got it.
Go for it.
Will Poulter. He came out in Detroit this past month in August. I feel he was going to be Pennywise the Clown before the director got changed and a whole bunch of mess. And Bill Skarsgård got cast. But I feel like him, he's young enough and talented enough to probably give us like a creepy Joker, you know? Like a younger Joker. Or we could just get the Cameron guy from Gotham, you know?
Yeah, honestly, like, if they got Cameron... Monahagan. I can't say his last name. I'm terrible with these last names. Anyway, if they could get him, or if they did get him, I wouldn't even be mad. Like, he knocks it out of the park as Jerome. He makes me want him to be, like, it makes me want him to become the Joker. Like, I want to see him as the Joker, not just Jerome. You know, I think he could knock it out of the park. He's a great actor. He's great. In Gotham, he's great on Shameless. I'd be fine with that. You had mentioned Bill Skarsgård earlier. I'd be okay with that, too. I don't know if people would start immediately drawing comparisons to Pennywise, since it is another clown character. But I think those two would be good matches. I don't know what they're going to go for, though, in the end. But, you know, I'm thinking something along those lines. You know, young, kind of, you know, nice looking on the one hand, kind of creepy looking on the other. You know, I think that's a good way to go for Joker.
Yeah, let's just not count our chickens, you know. Warner Brothers has a habit of announcing movies, but none of them are going into production. You know? Yeah, they need to... We'll have to wait and see with that.
They need to stop doing that, man. They need to, like, stop saying, like, oh yeah, in the year 2058, you're going to get this movie. When we haven't even you know gotten a director to stick for the Flash, or which is now Flashpoint, you know.
Speaking of directors, man, we got one that's staying with Patty Jenkins in Wonder Woman 2. She's officially back, and I'm hearing it's like the biggest contract for a woman director in a movie. So I'm so happy. It was bound to happen, but we were just waiting for that official news.
Yeah.
News broke, I think, yesterday, so... Man, let's get the ball rolling. She's great.
Here's the thing. You have Man of Steel. Good movie. Good, solid Superman movie. A lot of people don't like it. Superman doesn't kill. Whatever. Rewatch the old Superman movies. He kills Zod in one of them. There's a deleted scene where Zod's actually alive or something like that. But, I mean... Read the comics. Superman kills.
Yep.
He doesn't like to, but I mean, that was the whole thing. Like that, I love that scene where he breaks Zod's neck and then he reacts to it, like the pain and conflict just pouring out of him. You know, after he kills him, because yeah, he saved that family, he saved the world, but he just killed like the last of his people, as far as he knows. You know. I'm guessing they'll end up finding a way to smush Supergirl into the DCEU, but for now, that's the last Kryptonian, you know, besides him, and he killed him. So, you know, like, I thought it was a good movie, but anyway, I got distracted.
Got a little sidetracked there, bro.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
So you have that, and then you have Batman v Superman, supposed to be the movie of the century, finally Batman and Superman sharing the big screen together. And it's freaking Ben Affleck as Batman. You know, top-notch actor playing Batman in a Batman v Superman movie. And what happens? You know, we get Batman v Superman. Which, again, I don't hate it. I like the director's cut or the ultimate cut or whatever they called it. The 3-hour version. I liked it so much better. It's a good, solid movie. But again, just a good, solid movie. Then you get... What's next? Suicide Squad? Which...
Could have been better.
Could have been a lot better. And you know what I think would have been a lot better? I think if David Ayer stuck to what he knew, you know, look at his movies, look at the ones that do well, or the ones that are really good, things like End of Watch, Fury, they're stuck in realism. It's gritty, real, it's painful, it's emotional, it's human. You know, and that's what Suicide Squad was shaping up to be. And then you freaking put Enchantress as the main villain, and you destroy all that.
And you only have Joker in it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, and that you hype up Joker in the
it's the trailers freaking Joker, and cut him out. Man.
Yeah.
You know how big that character is, and for him to be in the movie for 2 minutes.
And not only that, but you change the Joker and Harley relationship completely. Like, man, I get it. You know, they wanted to make it more romantic or whatever, but Joker and Harley is not romantic. It's abusive, and it's gross, and it's terrible. And that's Joker and Harley. And that's who they are. That's what they are. I mean, he got it right. Like, at first, the whole torturing her to be crazy, you know, would you die for me? Would you live for me? All that crap. And then it's all like, you know, they cut out the scene where he threatens them with a grenade and his face is like half burnt off. They cut out a lot of the scenes, like the one where he pushes her out of the plane or whatever. Like, I don't know. They made it so the Joker's not a white knight, you know, not even for Harley. But anyway, again, sidetracked. So you have that, right? You have that movie, which, again, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I can watch it again. I've seen it multiple times. But it's not like, oh, man, that was a great movie. I watch it. I'm like, oh, that was fun. That's a good, you know, kind of mind-numbing 2.5 hours. And then you have Wonder Woman. Patty Jenkins, which, it's so stupid that, oh, a woman director with, you know, female you know, leads and, you know, mostly female cast, and everyone's getting all like excited about it. Like, who cares that she's female? Like, that bothered me so much that they made such a big deal about, oh, she's female. Like, what's gonna happen? She knocked out of the park. You know why? Because she's a fantastic director, because what's in her pants doesn't matter to like what she can do as a director, and she proved that, and she did awesome. And that was the first great movie of the DCEU, in my opinion. So it makes sense. Bring her back. Give her everything. Give her all the movies. Make her the new Snyder, for all I care. Like, she did great.
Yeah, totally deserving. I mean, and the amount of pressure that movie had to succeed, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was going to kick off the Wonder Woman franchise, you know, which is the female franchise. It's going to a demographic that DC doesn't really reach that well. I mean, you have little girls wanting to buy Harley Quinn costumes. Not exactly a great role model. But you get what I mean? Like, Batman, Superman, you know, Green Lantern, freaking Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman. You have all these, and then you have Wonder Woman, the one female Justice League, main Justice League character. So this is where you bring in the women. This is where you bring in the little girls. So that's important. And then DCEU, if you go by how good the movies are, it pretty much goes in order, which is not good. It goes Man of Steel, then Batman v Superman, then Suicide Squad. And that's not a good thing to do. Yeah. You're supposed to be getting better. So they needed Wonder Woman to knock it out of the park, or that could have been the end of the DCEU. They could have just been like, no, you know what? This is failing. This is terrible. And Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot, or Gal Gadot, or whatever. I think it's Gadot.
Gal Beautiful.
They knocked it out of the park. They did amazing. So, yes, pay her all the money to come back for Wonder Woman 2. Pay Gal all the money. You know, give freaking
creative freedom. Give them everything.
Yes.
The keys to the Lamborghini. Now, another thing. Have you noticed on the Justice League trailers who's leading the charge in pretty much all, like, the group scenes?
Yes.
It's not even Batman, dude. It's Wonder Woman. You know, she's breaking through walls. She's doing all this crazy stuff. And
that's also,
you know, you know who brought that character to life? Patty Jenkins.
Yes.
You know, she's great. I'm so glad she's back. Let's kick ass for part 2. But they got one little problem that I see happening. And I want to see what Warner Brothers is going to do. It's supposed to release 2019, I believe, in December. Now, who's the big box office winner in December?
Star Wars.
We're going to see who's going to be the one to move. And I'm willing to bet Warner Brothers is not going to be dumb enough to stay there. So let's just hope and see what happens. I mean, it's going to be great. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's get Patty Jenkins and everything. Let's go.
Yeah. No, I mean, if they both come out, they're competing. I wouldn't do that if I was Warner Brothers. Disney's not going to back down. Star Wars is a franchise built on, you know, decades. You know, 4 decades of being who they are.
Dude, it's built on midichlorians, bro.
Shut up, dude. You know, it's built on almost half a century. Wonder Woman was fantastic, but no.
Anything against Star Wars is dangerous, not just DC.
Yeah, anything. I mean, Disney could put their own stuff. Disney could go Disney v. Disney, put up, you know, Avengers or whatever Marvel movie. It's still not safe against Star Wars. So, yeah, I'm thinking they'll move up. I don't think they'll push it back. I think they'll move up Wonder Woman. And you know what? If they compete with each other, I'll watch them both. I don't care. I'll pay.
And also, other news revolving the DCEU. We don't know if Manganiello is going to be back for Deathstroke, man. What do you think about that?
That upset me, dude. But before, look, I never would have thought of Affleck for Batman, right? Not because he can't do it. Obviously, he's awesome. But just because when you're thinking of, you know, this new universe starting off, like, you don't go to names like Affleck right away. So my pick, or one of my picks for Batman way back in the day, was Manganiello. And then he didn't get it. Affleck got it. Affleck surprised the hell out of me. He did awesome. And then they say Joe Manganiello, I don't know why I called him Dave, Joe Manganiello is Deathstroke. And I mean, that's fantastic.
Perfect, right?
Perfect casting.
Dude, imagine him and Ben Affleck going at it, bro.
That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see, like, I don't know if you guys saw that trailer for Arkham Origins, but that fight scene between Deathstroke and Batman is incredible, and it's like 30 seconds or something. But I wanted to see that, you know. I wanted to see that dynamic, but now it looks like he might be out because of all the rewrites and restructuring for the Batman movie, which, you know,
just a big old mess within itself.
Yeah, which brings me to another bit of news that turns out that Ben Affleck's Batman movie was going to be based around the game.
David Fincher, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see kind of a suspense thriller mystery Batman.
Yeah, it would have been a game changer. And imagine if David Fincher would direct a Ben Affleck Batman movie. That would have been great. They work great together. I guess we'll never know. Hopefully the script comes out, maybe, so we could read, maybe just like make it up in our heads and see how good it would have been.
Yeah.
But
and who knows? Maybe it'll be like Justice League Mortal. Like, you know, they put that stuff out and it was, some of it was cringe worthy as hell.
You think so?
Yeah.
Costumes are cool.
Huh?
The costumes were cool.
But some of that stuff was not great. but, you know, I want Batman to duel. But it does stink to think, like, you know, it's kind of like when, I don't know, it's kind of like, what's that movie? It's a Beautiful Life?
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, this is what could have been. You know, but, you know what? I have faith. It'll be okay.
We got Matt Reeves, bro.
Yeah.
He closed out a great trilogy in The Planet of the Apes, and we'll see what he starts with Batman. Hopefully Ben Affleck stays on. We need Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
More than ever.
Yeah. My theory is he'll stay for Justice League, obviously. He's in it. And he'll do Batman. And if he wants to leave after that, because he's getting older, my thinking is they'll New 52 that thing, Flashpoint, and hit a big old reset button, which I wouldn't exactly be very fond of, but...
We'll see what happens. That's Warner Brothers, like, ace up their sleeve if it all turns to crap, which I hope it doesn't. You know, they always have Flashpoint in their back pocket, and we'll see how it works, man.
Yeah, Flashpoint can't, reset the whole thing. But, anyway, speaking of resets and reboots, after the Teen Titans TV show was cut tragically short and the abomination of Teen Titans Go was released, now we're getting a live-action TV show for the Titans, and it's going to be on the DC... It's going to be, my understanding is, the flagship show for the DC streaming service, which I'm also super excited about. I'm going to subscribe to that. I don't care how much it costs.
That's a lie. What if it's like $20 a month?
$20 a month. Here I am, like, I don't care how much it costs. And then $20 a month makes me, like, cringe a little bit. Because it would be pure DC.
Just, like, takes out a little bit of your soul.
Look. $20 a month, and it's all the animated movies, plus the exclusive TV shows, and give me Batman the Animated Series, Batman Beyond, and Superman the Animated Series, I'll pay you $20.
And Justice League Unlimited?
And Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, yes. And I'll give you the $20. But yeah, so they cast a good portion of the Teen Titans. I think pretty much they're just missing Beast Boy. I'm guessing they're not getting Cyborg since he's Justice League now. But... Okay. Hawk? Because this iteration of Teen Titans is Dick Grayson, Raven, Starfire. Beast Boy, I think. They put out a cast call for an Asian boy. They haven't cast him yet. And Dove and Hawk. So they have Hawk, who is, I think, the son of Hawkman and Hawk Girl. I don't know if that's how they'll still play him, but... anyway, so they have Hawk, and he's played by Alan Richson, who played Aquaman in Smallville, and who a lot of people wanted to play Shazam. But I guess that's not happening. He's playing Hawk. But beyond that, I don't think I've seen any of these other actors and actresses. Minka Kelly sounds familiar, but I was going through her IMDb page, and I've never seen anything.
Yeah, she comes out of that hit show, Friday Night Lights, which lasted a good couple of seasons. I think it was very popular. I never saw it, but, I mean...
That's true. I never...
Maybe it'll bring some of that demographic here to the new streaming service. We'll never know.
I saw a few episodes of Friday Night Lights, but, I mean, she didn't, like, stand out to me or anything, so who knows? And then, so, okay, let's go down the list. We have Tegan Croft for Raven. Who, I don't know, I thought Tegan Croft looked like a little girl. Like, the only picture I saw of her, I thought she was like 14-year-old girl or something. I thought, man, they're going young for Raven.
Yeah.
But she was in a movie in 1988. So she's older than me. And then Anna Diop for Starfire. She was in Quantico, I think. Mm-hmm. She's an older woman, African-American. Which I hope nobody throws a hissy fit about her being African American, because come on, Starfire has orange skin.
Yeah,
you know, like I hate when people get into all that crap. But anyway, Minka Kelly as Dove, Alan Richson as Hawk, who I'm excited about because he was Aquaman in Smallville, and I really liked him on Smallville, and then Brenton Thwaites as Dick Grayson. And here's the thing. Tegan Croft is cast as Raven. Anna Diop is cast as Starfire. Minka Kelly as Dove. Alan Richardson as Hawk. And they're all alter egos. Brenton Thwaites is just cast as Dick Grayson. Mm-hmm. He's not cast as Robin. He's not cast as Nightwing. So, I immediately started thinking, is this going to be the Titans led by Robin or the Titans led by Nightwing? As I started doing more research and seeing these people and seeing their ages, I'm thinking Nightwing. I don't think we're going to have a group of people in their mid-20s, early 30s led by Robin.
In the little shorts?
In the little shorts and elf boots. what do you think?
I think it's more, they're going to lean towards more Nightwing. As the big, even in the comics, like, Nightwing burst on the scene in Teen Titans, you know? That was his first appearance. Dick Grayson wearing the Nightwing costume. So I think a new big storylines in the Titan series, like the Judas Contract and stuff like that, Nightwing is a very, very important character in the Titans universe.
Well, Judas Contract is really when he became Nightwing, so I'm thinking that this will take place after that, like a more seasoned, you know, maybe grittier Titans. I don't think this will be like, oh, we're recruiting all the sidekicks, because I mean that they're like in their 30s. Like, if you're still a sidekick in your 30s or maybe even late 20s, like, maybe the superhero business is not for you.
Yeah, but just going down your list, the only one I'm familiar with is Alan Richson from doing the voice work of Raphael in the TMNT series, the newest movies. I'm excited. I don't know too much about Hawk and Dove, but I guess we'll wait and see what happens with those characters. I'm really excited for this DC streaming service. Like you, I'm going to subscribe, so let's just hope this Titan series is great. And a little bit more higher budget than the Arrowverse, you know?
Yeah.
Get some of that action.
Yeah. I mean, don't get us wrong. We love the CW-verse or Arrowverse or whatever you want to call it. I'm super excited for October to get here and see the new seasons. Eloy Snapchatting just took the worst possible picture of me. I'm like mid-word with my arm up. It looks like I just smelled my armpit and thought it smelled like death or something. But anyway, so we love the CW verse, but maybe something a little higher budget, something that doesn't look so CGI'd sometimes, because some of the CGI bits of, especially in The Flash, are awesome, but then some of them it looks like it wasn't done rendering or something. Yeah. In other TV DC news, season 4 of Gotham is starting. David Masseuse has started the transition into Batman, and apparently that transition has a awkward teenage phase. He honestly kind of looks like a dude who's a little bit too much into BDSM at way too young an age.
But he wants to play Damien, dude. He wants to be Damien to Batman in DCEU. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he expressed interest in being Damien Wayne in the DCEU. First of all, I think he's getting ahead of himself. I don't know that they'll do with Damien Wayne. I hope they do, because this Batman's older, you know. So, you know, we know that Dick Grayson exists, and it seems like we have a Jason Todd by the Dead Robin costume. That's up in the back, even BVS. And who knows? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we have a Tim Drake. Tim Drake is probably the most overlooked Robin that there is. and then Damian Wayne. I hope they do Damian Wayne. I think that'd be a really cool thing to see. Ben Affleck having a son who's Robin. I think that'd be pretty awesome. But you know what? I don't hate the idea. David Masseuse, looks like he could pull off Damian Wayne much more convincingly than him pulling off Batman. I don't know why they're skipping around so much in Gotham. Like, they're rushing.
They got no choice, dude. They moved to Thursday nights now. Ratings are falling, bro. They need to do something.
Maybe try making a good TV show.
Or just skip it in, like, 10 years.
Recast.
Skip it 10 years and then...
Yeah, I don't know.
Just put him in the goddamn Batman suit already. That's all I want to see.
Him all skinny and scrawny in the Batman suit?
Yeah, kicking Jerome's ass.
You gotta pad that up. You gotta have to put a lot of padding in that suit. And some risers in the boots. Anyway, so let's take a step away from the beautiful yet frightening fire that is the DC
universe
right now, and let's go into Marvel. I watched Defenders. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I don't know. I think it went pretty well. They used Iron Fist better than Iron Fist used Iron Fist. They brought them together in a decent way. I felt it was a little rushed, but probably because they only made 8 episodes for some reason. And spoilers. I'm really excited about them doing the Born Again storyline for Daredevil, because that's what it seems like they're doing.
Yep. I'm excited for that. I saw the Defender series too. I thought it was good, but there was just something missing, you know. Like, I don't know about Sigourney Weaver. I didn't really care for her character too much. I didn't think she was too like threatening or anything like that. I thought Madame Gao was more intimidating than Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, and I think what they tried to do was kind of make Madame Gao afraid of her, so that, like, oh, if Madame Gao's afraid of her, then she must be really terrible, but she just wasn't. But, yeah. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but, yeah, I get what you're saying with Sigourney Weaver, and just the writing seemed a little off. It wasn't quite, you know, the level of some of the other Marvel Netflix shows. Definitely better than Iron Fist, though. And you know what? Now we get to look forward to, you know, where do they go from here? They finally got together. They finally, you know, worked as a team. Now where do we go from here? And the answer to that is November Punisher. I am excited as heck for Punisher.
Yes, Jon Bernthal is great. It looks like they're going to delve into more of his military background. There are some set photos.
So, no, yeah, I saw, well, we were watching the new trailer, or little teaser trailer, and, yeah, they showed some of his Marine pictures, and you think they'll do Punisher, what's it?
Warzone?
Is it Warzone?
Which one?
The storyline.
Max. There's a bunch of them.
Is it Max?
Max is crazy, bro.
Which one is the one that delves a lot into his military background?
I think it is Warzone, or the Jin Lee. I think it is Warzone.
Yeah.
Or War Journal.
I think it's War Journals.
Was it a miniseries?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, this whole, like, Punisher was great in Daredevil Season 2. You know, that's the characters I want. I kind of don't want a whole bunch of team crap in TV series, TV-wise, you know, unless it's longer or stuff like that. Like, me and my cousin Ruben, we'd watch Daredevil, and we'd love that stuff. So we wanted more Daredevil, and when we got Defenders, my favorite parts were the Daredevil parts. So, yeah. And then Punisher, man, he just took over Daredevil Season 2, so I'm excited for Jon Bernthal reprising his role as Punisher, and let's get the ball rolling, man.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited for that. I'm excited for some of, you know, Punisher's signature ultra-violence. I like him. I like him a lot. I like that gray area that he straddles, the way he deals with it so well. But, you know what? It's funny you mentioning Jon Bernthal. because I totally forgot to put this in our notes that we were, because I wanted to cover it. But you know what movie I just watched? It's an old movie, but I was watching it as research for the new director of Suicide Squad 2. And that was The Accountant.
Oh, yeah.
And it has John Bernthal.
You're right, dude. He plays the stepbrother, or the brother.
Yeah, it has... spoiler alert. If you haven't seen The Accountant like me.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I've seen it, but like if you've waited, like I just saw it like last week. Oh. You know, so if you haven't seen it, like even though it came out forever ago, or not forever ago,
well,
like,
too 2 years ago. I mean, it's just people's fault they're missing out on a great movie.
But yeah, I saw The Accountant. It has John Bernthal. It has Ben Affleck. That's basically Punisher from the TV series, Batman from the movies, and Amanda Waller from the Arrowverse, and Jim Gordon from the Justice League movie. So it's very DC packed, and then you know Punisher in there for sprinkles.
A little bit of that little Marvel sprinkle, that little seasoning, you know.
Yeah, to give it some kick. And it was a good movie. I really liked the way the guy wrote. The twist, like, was, or I don't think it was really supposed to be a twist ending, the John Bernthal being the brother, because it was kind of obvious. Like, I picked up on it right away. Like, pretty much the second John Bernthal comes out and starts threatening that rich boy, I'm like, oh, that's the brother. You know, like, boom, right off the bat. So I don't think, they were trying to hide it too much. The twist that I did like, and that caught me off guard, was the autistic mute girl being the British woman with that speaking device. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved that. I thought that was so cool. But it's a good movie. It's basically Batman without the bat suit and without the moral ambiguity or whatever little moral ambiguity was left after BVS. It's just, you know, it's Ben Affleck playing a killer Batman, basically. Very obsessive, very intelligent, and just fantastic with pretty much any weapon. And overall, a killer, you know? I really like that. And if that's kind of the flavor of Suicide Squad 2, I'm good with it. I'm happy with it. He worked well with Ben Affleck, was able to, like, Ben Affleck pulled off that character very well. My concern is that that's what I thought about David Ayer. I thought David Ayer, you know, I was thinking we're going to get street level Suicide Squad. We're going to get, you know, freaking last, End of Watch. I mean, not Last Call, what the heck's the matter with me? We're going to get End of Watch Suicide Squad style. And instead we got...
Crap.
Yeah. We got like... Well, I mean, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. But we got the guy who made End of Watch, who needs to stick to that street level thing, trying to put in magic and spells and go from street level to worldwide in an instant. Because that's what it was. It was street level. It was like thugs. I mean, these aren't exactly like world class. I mean, they are world class villains, but they're not Lex Luthor trying to take over the world. You know? They're not Yellow Lantern coming from space. Or Sinestro coming from space. They're an assassin, Joker's girlfriend, Croc, like mostly Batman villains, and Captain Boomerang, who's a Flash villain. Like very street level. And then suddenly, Enchantress. And that did not sit well with me. But you know what? If they learn from their mistake and if they keep Suicide Squad 2 street level, or at least, you know, like government conspiracy-ish, you know, because I like that part of Suicide Squad, the whole government conspiracy Task Force X part.
Yeah.
It was not until like, oh, like she's gone rogue and I thought, oh, this could be cool. And she's gone rogue and she's trying to take over the planet and look at her superpowers and her weird witch lady dance. Like, just completely just killed it, you know, completely unbelievable. And she was super OP,
yeah,
you know, but they managed to kill her, you know, by, you know, teamwork and
Diablo.
Yeah, Diablo was the only part of that was like intensely awesome. I mean, I liked a lot of,
like, parts,
yeah,
Deadshot.
Yeah.
Both great.
You know, I heard, or not heard, I read, and this is why I hate the racial crap. I read someone be like, oh, you know, new director for Suicide Squad 2, right? Oh, please recast Will Smith as Keanu Reeves. Deadshot as Keanu Reeves. I was like, why? Because he came out in freaking John Wick, which, great freaking movie. Great with guns and all. But why? And someone like, but why? Like, that would be a huge continuity error. And the answer, oh, because he's white in the movies. Dude wears a freaking mask. You know, like, who cares? So they made him black. I go back to the same thing. Like, who gives a crap? It's the same character. I don't care when they made Iris West black in The Flash, even though, I mean, she is black, I think, now in the comics. Or she is black in the comics, or at least in the New 52 she was. They made her black in the TV show. Who cares? It's Iris West. They made Deadshot black in Suicide Squad. Who cares? It's still Deadshot. Yeah. You know, like, who gives a crap?
As long as the character's good to me.
Exactly. That's why, like, all those are great examples, but then there's MJ from Spider-Man Homecoming, who
I loved.
Who you loved, but, like,
why? But she's great, man.
I mean, Zendaya...
She had good one-liners.
Zendaya's good, like, she had the good little one-liners, but that's not MJ, and that's not Mary Jane.
But she never said she was Mary Jane.
Down to the name, they changed it to Michelle, but it's MJ. Like, she's the MJ stand-in. You know what I mean?
I didn't know what you mean.
She's a surrogate Mary Jane, and I didn't like that. Like, I felt like they changed the character way too much.
You're being a hater. Mary Jane is not that important.
No, I mean, it's just Spider-Man's prime motivation for, like, 90% of what he does. It's like Mary Jane and Uncle Ben. But anyway. But I think that's all the news we have for now.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you had me on this show, on the first episode back since its hiatus.
Yes, the hiatus that we all thought was a death. But Eloy knew better. Eloy saw the little dust rising off the coffin, off the casket, like at the end of BVS. He knew Superman would return. He knew Sloth Tato would return. So yeah, we're back. We had tried to make it a weekly thing. In the first iteration of Sloth Tato, and we failed epically. So what we're thinking is we're going to keep it to big announcements, movies dropping, trailers dropping, that sort of thing. It's not going to be on a set schedule. What I was thinking, too, is of setting up a little bit of a network to keep you guys entertained, the few listeners we do have. So it'll be Sloth Tato, which will be like the flagship. Always, you know, has been. And then there's another podcast that I've worked on. It's a few episodes in. I release an episode. I was releasing once a month, but now, I had to scale back due to some health issues. But now I think I'm going to be coming back with more regular episodes. That's God and Geeks, which is like a Christian podcast that takes a Christian worldview on geeky topics. Right now I'm doing a series on the Lantern Corps, so I've done Green Lanterns, Yellow Lanterns, Blue Lanterns, and basically gives you a history of, like, oh, this is what the Green Lanterns are, this is where they came from, this is their powers, whatever, and this is how, like, you can use it to basically teach a Bible lesson, so a Bible study. So we're doing that, and I'm looking into more topics, more things for Sloth Tato to branch out into. So if you guys have ideas, let us know. And yeah, we hope to be in your ear holes a lot more. Sounds kind of dirty. Sounds kind of gross.
Yeah, it's X-rated.
Yeah. I just said I'm a Christian, then I'm saying stuff that sounds suggestive. I didn't mean for it to be suggestive. I just, you know, you're going to be hearing a lot more of us, I hope. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening. And stay tuned, and we'll see you here again. Not the same sloth time, but the same sloth channel.
So, peace.
Hasta la vista.